Okay. Let's pray. We'll jump right into this. Father Yahweh, we bless your name on tonight, and we just glorify you in the name of Yahushua. We just seek for wisdom and understanding, and just bless us to be able to put that into action. And we glorify you as always. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. One of the things I want to examine tonight is the term the angel of the Lord, and we're going to look at different scriptures on tonight in order to come to an understanding in reference to this. So as you see to the left of the screen, these are all the scriptures that has the angel of the Lord associated with that particular scripture, and so we'll just move through each one of these examples that's to the left, and then we'll look at the scriptures to the right to come to an understanding of these words, the angel of the Lord. Okay. What we'll understand here, or coming to an understanding of, is that there are a lot of times when this word or these words are used, and we'll look at what takes place as a result of it, and then we'll go from there. Okay. I'm going to pull up another scripture here. We'll pull up another scripture, and I'm going to have to figure out. Y'all just need me to start that one first. Let me see. We'll start at Revelation chapter 19, and then we'll move from there. Okay. Revelation chapter 19. I'm just trying to see what verse. We'll just start at verse 1. Revelation 19, verse 1 said, "After these things, I heard a voice." A voice of much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation, glory, and honor, and power unto Yah our God, for true and righteousness are His judgment, for He has judged the great whore." We're not going to go into the detail of the contextual meaning, and this is just a specific thing I want to put out here in reference to bringing us into an understanding of the topic to the right of the screen that we use, the angel of the Lord. Okay. Verse 2 again said, "For true and righteous are His judgment, for He has judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of His servants at her hand." And again they said, "Hallelujah," and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 feet fell down and worshiped Yah that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." Now, as we see in verse 4, we'll see the 24 elders as well as the beast. The 4 and 20 elders, or the 24 elders and the 4 beasts, fell down and worshiped Yah. Okay, Yah is to be worshipped. And so we understand, so we'll use that as the foundation that we know that Yah is worshipped. So anytime we see something that's taking place where Yah is being worshipped, it is because it is Yah Himself. Okay? Again, and the 4 and 20 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped Yah that sat on the throne saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our Yah, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunder, and saying, Hallelujah, for Yah God omnipotent reigneth. Omnipotent is just all power, all powerful. He is indeed all power. So all ruling, says the all ruling God, the Almighty. He's the sovereign. He has all power. All he has supreme authority. Okay, and so again, hallelujah for Yah God, omnipotent reigning. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Okay? And he said unto me, Write, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of Yah. Now, this is the verse I want to get to, okay? It says, And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Yahushua. Worship Yah. So, again, we see it here where whoever this fellow servant and brethren is of John, he tells John, as John was going to fall down at his feet to worship him, his fellow servant, he said, No. He said, Don't do it in a nutshell. He said, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Yahushua. Worship Yah. We are to worship Yah. Okay? He said, Worship Yah, for the testimony of Yahushua is the spirit of prophecy. Okay? And so as we see here, it is pointing out that it's vitally important that God is the source who we worship. Okay? And so his fellow servants and brethren of John, because he's saying a fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Yahushua. He's the witness of Christ, okay, the Messiah, the Mashiach. So when we look at that, in order to understand the angel of Yah, then we have to see what takes place when people come in contact with the angel of Yah, okay? And then we'll start to see these things, okay? So just remember verse 10, and then we will move from there. I'm going to close out Revelation 9. Now, sister, at the right of the screen, we'll look here and we'll see the first passage where it shows the angel of the Lord. It's found in Genesis chapter 16, verse 7. So we'll look at that, and also 9, 10, 11. So Genesis 16, we'll look at Genesis 16, these verses here to get an understanding of, and we'll also look at verses in between, okay? Genesis 16, let's just start at verse 1. It says, Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, Yah has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. So we do know she's Egyptian. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. So Hagar is his wife also. Sarah is his wife. Hagar is his wife also. Now, verse 4 says, And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. In other words, when she saw that she had conceived, when you look at the word despise, it means that she thought less of her Midian.
Huh?
You said, and when Hagar, it said, when Hagar, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, so this is
Hagar.
Okay. Her mistress was despised in her Hagar.
So you're saying, wait a minute, who's despised and who's not?
Okay, okay. Let's read it again. And because, you know, again, we're about understanding here, so we'll break the verse down. Okay, it says, and when he went unto her, unto Hagar, and she, Hagar, conceived,
right.
And when she...
So it's
you know, it's still Hagar. And so it says, and when she, Hagar, saw that she, Hagar, had conceived, her mistress was despised in her, Hagar, eyes.
Okay, so Hagar...
Yeah.
She was kind of like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, now.
You ain't convinced yourself, I'm the big dog in this fight. Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I just want to make sure we're all the same thing. Okay, then it said, and Sarah said unto Abram, this is why she's saying it now, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, that Yah judged between me and thee. Okay. And so we're seeing some things take place here as a result of it, but we want to find out what the angel of the Lord is, okay? Verse 6 says, but Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleases thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Now, let's deal with the word hardly. Hardly with her. It means the root word is rather indented. In other words, she humbled her. She depressed her. You see the definition. She chastened her. She humbled her. Okay. And so, in other words, there was something that although the scripture doesn't reveal it, there was something that Sarai did that caused. That caused Hagar, her maid to be humbled, okay? I don't know if she, you know, she hit her or what. I don't know what she did. Whatever she did, she dealt hardly with her. Okay, and that hardly means she forced us to submit, okay? And so, as we see that here, she fled from her place. She fled from Sarah's face. And then we come to the verses now. It said, and the angel of Yah found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou? And whither thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of Yah said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hand. Did I miss something? Submit thyself under her hand. And the angel of Yah said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. Okay, verse 11 again. And the angel of Yah said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael. So Ishmael is part Egyptian or he's part Ham and Shem. Okay, Shem is a father through Abraham, but he has Ham in his bloodline. So your descendants of Ishmael were also men of color, African African or what is commonly understood as black. Okay, it is what it is. Okay. And the angel of Yah said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael. Because Yah has heard thy affliction. Now, if you notice when we look at verse 6, look at the right of the screen, verse 6, 9, 10, and 11, you're seeing some things that take place, specifically with verse 10, that helps us out a lot. It said, the angel of Yah said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And so I'm going to step out and say this, and then we will look at scripture to further confirm this fact. I have always thought that the angel of Yah, was always an angel that would show up, and then once the angel would show up and, so to speak, get the attention, then Yah would speak, or he would speak on Yah's behalf. But what we're coming to an understanding of is that this angel of Yah, this angel of Yah, according to scripture, that we look at these things, is Yah himself. It is another facet of his name, whereas we look at Yah as far as El, or I am, that I am, or, you know, Yah, or, you know, these different names that's associated with him. I'm starting to believe, through looking at the scripture, that the angel of the Lord, or the angel of Yah, is another facet to identify who Yah is during certain encounters that he has with us as mankind. And we'll look at other scriptures to see if we can confirm this, this as we go on. So again, verse 7 says, and the angel of Yah found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress. And the angel of Yah said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hand. And the angel of Yah said unto her, I will multiply. Now notice when the angel of Yah said something, and then you see him saying, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. So, you know, because we're looking at the angel of the Lord, a lot of times we'd be like, okay, that's the angel speaking on behalf of Yah. Well, we're going to look at different scriptures to see if that's the case. When the angel shows up, we're going to look at different scriptures to see what he says in order to determine if this is Yah or if this is an actual angel that represents him. So again, verse 10, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for a multitude. And the angel of Yah said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and call his name Ishmael, because Yah has heard thy affliction. Okay? Now we'll move to Genesis 22 and see if we see a pattern here to either fully confirm or say, well, we need to rethink this thought. Okay? Genesis 22, we're gonna read verse 11, because if I read all the verses, we're not going to get there, because we got a lot of verses to cover. Genesis 22, verse 11 says, and the angel of Yah called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Abraham said, here am I. And he said, he as in the angel of Yah who calls out of heaven. Okay? And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest Yah, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Okay, now we have to come to the conclusion, okay, is this an angel speaking on behalf of Yah, or is this Yah who's identified from a perspective of the angel of Yah? So I'm saying at this point, we're looking at scriptures that give a strong impression that this angel of Yah is Yah himself, okay? And we'll continue to run these references to see what takes place when people encounter the angel of Yah, okay? So we're looking at another one here, again, verse 11. It says, and the angel of Yah called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Okay? And we'll skip to, we won't. Verse 12 said, he said, lay not, he is in the angel of Yah, who calls unto Abraham, 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 and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest Yah. The angel said, I know. Okay? Again, it gives the impression that he's speaking on behalf of Yah, but at this stage, I believe this is Yah himself, and he's classified as the angel of Yah. So let's look at the word. Let's look at the word angel here, and we'll see, and we'll just continue to run scripture references just to see. Okay. When you look at the angel, it says a messenger. It says an angel. It also says specifically of Yah. So Yah can be classified as the angel. Okay. It says again from a unused root meaning to dispatch as a deputy, a messenger. It says specifically. Then it says of Yah, i.e. an angel, also a prophet. Or a prophet or a teacher, ambassador, king, angel, king, messenger. So we want to find out if this is an actual angel or is angel speaking for Yah or is this Yah himself, okay? So we just continue to run scripture references and we'll just look at all of them, all right? Verse 15, we don't want to skip. So I'll read verse 11 again. And the angel of Yah called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest Yah, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And so I said from this perspective, a lot of times Yah speaks in third person, if I'm saying it correctly. And so if I'm representing someone, except if I'm representing elder, I'm just going to say I'm an angel of elder. I'm a messenger for elder. I wouldn't decree a thing and say that he withheld, that Abraham withheld his only son from me as the messenger, but I would say he withheld his only son from elder. In other words, he didn't withhold his only son from elder. And so you look at these words here, and if someone is speaking on behalf of someone, then there are certain things that they would or would not say. Okay, verse 12 says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest Yah, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So this angel is saying, he calls out to Abraham, and he's saying, you know, he fears Yah, and he's saying he would not withhold or has not withheld his only son from me. Okay? Now, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of Yah it shall be seen. Okay? Verse 15, and the angel of Yah called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I sworn. Okay? Saith Yah, For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Okay? And thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou obeyed my voice. Same thing. Okay? So at this point, I'm not seeing anything to say that this name, the angel of the Lord, is not Yah himself. I hadn't seen anything to this point. But we don't trust ourselves. We're not coming to our conclusion based upon our own estimation. We want to continue to read the scripture. So I'm saying at this point, I haven't seen anything that says, that makes it clear without a doubt that the angel of Yah is not Yah himself, okay? That the angel of Yah is actually an angel. All signs are pointing to that it is Yah himself. But let's continue to read to make sure. Verse 7 says, and Yah, and I want to, and the reason why I believe that this is being used is because this is another passage that shows some things in reference to Yah himself. This is 24 verse 7 said, Yah God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swore unto me, saying, unto thy seed I give this land. So it was the angel of Yah that spoke, but then when you look at 24:7, he is saying who actually spoke to him in Genesis 24:7. The angel of the Lord is saying these things, but he's saying who spoke. Verse 6 says, and Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son to the again. The Yah God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swore unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I. So he swore unto him, saying, okay, Yah did. But when you look at Genesis 22:11-15, at least it is saying that it was the angel of Yah that spoke these things. But Genesis 24:7, Abraham is reminding us of what happened to him, but he's saying, Yah, God of heaven, which took him from my father's house, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swore unto me. So, you know, a person will say, well, that's Yah, that's the angel speaking on his behalf, so the same thing. Well, at this point, I'm saying I'm not seeing anything that says that this angel of Yah is not, I'm not seeing anything that points to the fact that this angel of Yah is an angel and not Yah himself. All signs are pointing to that it is, okay? It says, and which spake unto me, and that swore unto me, saying, unto thy seed I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from this. And so when you see this here, we do see angels associated with Yah, but when these encounters are happening, we want to understand that is it the angels that carry out the mission of what Yah says, or is it the angel that says these things on behalf of Yah? That's what we want to continue to get an understanding of, okay? We'll go to Genesis 24:40. And we'll go back up to other verses if we need some more information to get an understanding of this, of what we're talking about here. Verse 40 said, he said unto me, And he said unto me, Yah, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son, of my kindred, and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from the oath. Well, we don't have to read that portion of it, okay? Let's continue to move on, and we can come back and look at some of these other verses as we need to. Exodus 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. Am I right? Yeah. Wrong one. Exodus 3. Yeah. And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of Yah, even to Horeb. And the angel of Yah appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when Yah saw that he turned aside to see, Yah called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Okay? He sees it. Look here. And the angel of Yah appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Now, so the question we ask, is the angel in the bush and Yah in the bush too? So these are things that I'm just pointing out to criticize the thought of saying, okay, is the angel of Yah an angel, or is it actually Yah? And so we're looking at these different scriptures in order to see these things. So as we see again in verse 2, says, an angel of Yah appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. So this angel of Yah is in the midst of the bush. It says, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Okay? And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Okay? And when Yah saw that he turned aside to see, Yah called unto him out of the midst of the bush. So this angel of Yah is in the midst of the bush. Then it says here, Yah is in the midst of the bush. Okay?
And Yah saw.
Yah saw him from the, okay, let's read it again. And when Yah saw that he turned aside to see about this bush, okay, Yah called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Notice the angel said in Genesis, as we look to the right of the screen, the angel said in Genesis 22:11. And the angel of Yah called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. We see a pattern. He calls the name out twice. We see him called out of the midst of the bush twice. Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Same thing our father Abraham said. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So the scripture makes it clear that the angel of Yah is in the midst of the bush, making it clear that once Abraham's once Moses' attention is grabbed, so to speak, Then Yah looks through the bush and calls out Moses' name, and Moses answers, here I am, and the angel clearly identifies himself as Yah. He said, moreover, verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon Yah. So it is clear that as he looked at that, it was identified as the angel of the Lord, or the angel of Yah, and yet it's still we see it, we see that now Yah is doing the conversation. And I believe one of the reasons why it is difficult to understand that the angel of Yah is one and the same at this point, and we'll continue to run scripture references to confirm this. We don't want to come to the conclusion on our own. We're going to let the scripture confirm it. Now, Yah just dropped in my spirit this. He said, it is the same perspective as when people look and say the spirit of Yah. When they see the spirit of Yah, they disconnect from me and they want to make it a third person in the Godhead. Instead of it being the breath of Yah by which I now release upon men to be inspired. All scriptures given by inspiration, the breath of Yah. Yah breathed in man's nostril, he became a living soul. Well, we know through looking at scripture, precept upon precept, line upon line, that the spirit of Yah is not this other entity out there. It's not another being out there. It's not the Trinity, the third person in the Godhead. It is coming from Yah himself. Acts 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that was a sound from heaven. There is a voice now from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Genesis 22, verse 11, when you look to the right of the screen. Okay? There's also a voice that comes out of the midst of the bush. Moses, Moses. Okay? And so we're seeing these connections whereby I'm starting to see that this is where all these different doctrines are coming from, because we're having a hard time understanding that Yah is almighty. Okay, he's omnipotent, so he's saying, I'm all-powerful. You can't put me in one category. When I tell you that I'm going to send an angel before you, and I'll go myself. Okay, and so these are things that is difficult for us to wrap our mind around, because we have limited Yah in his power. We'll say he's all-powerful, like what our father Abraham experienced. But when it comes down to identifying that power, it got to be three of them. He is Yah all by himself. All power and authority is in his hand. He is the supreme God. There is no one else. Okay? And so we want to continue to look at it to make sure you had anything other.
I did have a comment. So, I mean, it's interesting even from the perspective of, if you look at from the very beginning, where you see the scripture say, you hear the voice of God walking in the cool of the garden,
yes.
Right? So you see then a physical embodiment of God.
Right.
But then, for whatever reason, after that, I guess people think because Adam ate the fruit, that God no longer, but even though we dealt with
God no longer what?
Dwelt among men.
That's what I'm going to do. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to continue to look at scriptures, and you remember that what you just said, because we're going to look in Exodus, where the elders as well as Moses, Aaron, and Joshua all went up into that mountain and ate with Yah,
or even with Abraham, where it says, Yah said, let me come there, let me see for myself.
Okay. All these scriptures here, pull up the one, it's found in Exodus, the one where the elders, I believe it's around Exodus 20 to 24, where you see the elders, you just search when it says, and the elders went up into the mount. And then also the one you just quoted about the three men, okay? And that's what, and the reason why I'm doing this is because God's getting ready to encounter us. There are some things I've been praying about, and I'm saying, okay, God, you and I, and I'm being transparent with y'all now. I'm saying, and this is why we're teaching it. I'm saying, okay, y'all, I'm having encounters with you, but at the same time, you always have encountered your people. And it wasn't that they were all these big, you know, big dog in the fight, so to speak. It wasn't that they were all Abram and Moses. We see here that he met Hagar. He met a maid. And so it is getting us prepared for things that God is doing. You remember when I talked about the encounters that we're getting ready to have with y'all once we finish with our remnants. And boy, I got some testimony there, y'all, but what's going on with that? Y'all is moving. I'm telling you, he's moving. And so remember that. If y'all encountered Hagar, a maid, what you think about the children of the Most High, y'all? What you think about a child of Israel? We're getting prepared for encounter. Y'all is going to start to encounter with us because we're in the season for these things to take place, and we're lining up with his will. Okay, now, Elder, just flow how you want to. If you want me to go to the one about the angels, the men, and okay, which one you want me to go to first?
Exodus.
Okay, Exodus 24, verse 9 says, this is when our nation has this encounter with Yah as he's establishing the covenant with us and things like that before Moses goes up and gets the commandments. Okay?
Well, you can actually see in verse 8.
Okay. Verse 8. I'll start verse 7. Okay. Yeah. Matter of fact, y'all, you know how you see these would look like rituals with people be taking blood and sprinkling on people and they be thinking that it's satanic rituals and things like that. Our nation did that. Moses took blood and sprinkled it on our nation as he was establishing the covenant and reading the testimony, the book of testimony to him. And so there are a lot of things where you see that people take it and make it into paganism things, but these were things that our nation did. Moses reading these things and he's sprinkling blood on our nation as he's establishing his covenant with Yah. Verse 6. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in a basin, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that Yah has said we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which Yah has made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw Yah of Israel. They saw him. See, so you get people, the reason why Yah is not manifesting the people in these day and time, because we've been taught false doctrine that says, no man has seen Yah at any time. So when they say that, they're like, no man, ain't nobody seen God before. We ought to understand that when it says no man has seen Yah at any time, it is talking about the fullness of his glory and who he is. He come down at certain levels to deal with us. Okay? He may come with two men. And the scripture said three men, but one of them is Yah. So there's a certain thing when he will encounter us and he'll come down to the level by which we can deal with it. Other than that, when we see him in all of his magnificence, we fall as if we're dead.
Or come back glowing.
Exactly. Like Moses, when he came down, he was glowing. So he's been in the presence of Yah. when the scripture said when Christ transfigured, his face shone as the sun. Can you imagine getting before the Almighty Creator of all things? You just gonna walk up in there and say, "Hey, how you doing, God?" No. We can't see him in the fullness of all of his glory and be able to stand in that presence without his presence allowing us to stand. So we have to understand these things. So look what takes place. Yeah, I show you how personal our God is. There's none else like it. Who would want to worship something that you got to move around and carry around and sit up on stands and all these different things when you serve the Almighty, the Creator of all things? Again, it says, verse 9, then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the Yah of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. When they saw him, in part of his level of magnificence, whereby they could stand in his presence. Okay, a body of heaven in his clearness. And up on the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw Yah and did eat and drink. Okay, in other words, they ate in the presence of Yah. I know that Yah will eat because he sit down and ate with Moses. Abraham. We're gonna look at that later. So they sat down and ate. So Yah may have eaten with them. I don't know. Okay. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw Yah and did eat and drink. And Yah said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee table of stone. That's when he gave him the testament. Okay, the Ten Commandments and so on and so forth. And a law. And so it was more. The table of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. You know? When you look at it, it could have been the whole five books. I don't know. Moses was up there 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? And Moses rolled up and his minister Joshua. So Joshua's there. And Moses went up into the Mount of Yah. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and her are with thee. If any man have a matter to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of Yah abode up on Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it the 6 days. And the 7th day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of Yah was like devouring fire. They saw him, but now there's something going on where he's going to, it gives the impression like he's in a different fashion of his glory now. Okay? And the glory of Yah abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the 7th day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of Yah was like devouring fire, and on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? You had something?
Joshua
went up so far, I believe. He went up so far, but Moses went into that cloud by himself. But yeah, because when he said up, Joshua went. Joshua was his minister. Joshua was with him all the time. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of Yah. Joshua went with him.
Because that's what I say. Otherwise, he would probably say, and Joshua and Aaron, because he said, behold, Aaron and Hur with you.
Right.
He didn't leave Joshua.
Joshua went with him. And so, you know, at this point, I don't know where Joshua is on that mount, but I know he went with Moses up on that mount. I don't know if he was in that area with Moses or what, because it doesn't give us that information. But we know that he went with him, and Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went, and his minister Joshua, unto the Mount of Yah. That's why the colon is there. That you know that when Moses went, Joshua rose up with him, so Joshua had to go too. Okay? And so, what is the other one now?
The other verse is Genesis 18.
Okay. Just 18. We just started verse 1. Verse 1 said, and Yah appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself. Why did he bow? One of these three men is somebody to be worshipped. Okay? And he bowed himself, but then at the same time, we do know that that the brothers of Joseph bowed to him. So that was a custom also. Okay? But we'll find out as we go on. And bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee. Now notice he said, my Lord, instead of my Lord. That's why I was emphasizing, but y'all wanted me to show that also they did bow down obedience to Joseph also. But I'm showing that there is a connection to him bowing down and who he's referring to, because if it was three, he would have said, my Lord, plural. But he's bowing down to one in particular. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Okay? Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your heart. And after that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. So the Lord is all over one, but we'll see. And Abraham, at this point, I believe, is one. And Abraham hastened into the tent under Sarah and said, make ready. I don't want to read all this for the sake of the time. Let's skip down to the verse, because we know it's a lot of things in there that we were in there about. Verse 13. No, that's dealing with what he said, sir, at last. Because again, it said, and the Lord said, let's reverse it. And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child who I'm old? Because the Lord said she's going to bear a child. See? And they said unto him, where is thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Okay? And you see verse 13 is pointing out that Yah is asking a question. He says, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall conceive. Then you know that Yah is one of these men. Verse 16. And the men rose up from this and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Yeah, I'm saying this now. It says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that Yah may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. As you see, he's continuing saying, the Lord said, so this is Yah. Okay, what's that verse? Because I don't want to deal with all of it. So, let me see. You can read this on your own time. I just want to. We'll start at verse 32, and we'll read out. And he said, Abram is talking to Yah, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there in Sodom and Gomorrah, 10 righteous men. And he said, I will not destroy for 10 for 10's sake. So as we see it here, Yah is saying he's going to destroy. Okay? We're going to see if that's the case. Verse 33 says, Yah went his way, and the Lord went his way, as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Well, as we go back up and look at this, I'm trying to see. Yeah, so as we go on and look at verse 33, I just wanted to make sure.
If okay. Verse.
It's a verse that I'm looking for.
Yeah, I say
start at 20. Okay, yeah, that's the verse I was looking for. And Yah said, because the crowd of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. Right? We know this is Yah. He's saying this cry has come unto me. And if not, I will know. Verse 22, he said, and the men turned their faces from this and went toward Sodom, but Abraham, that's the verse, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So the two men continue on to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham is standing there with Yah by himself, so he's talking to Yah.
Right.
Okay? He's talking to Yah. That's why when we get down to verse 30, and that's verse 30.
Verse 1 and 19 shows you what the two men were.
Exactly. And so we're going to verse 20. It's
verse
19. 19:1. Okay.
Yeah.
Then it says, now we know that Abraham is left with Yah alone. The two men continue on. We know that he's with Yah alone, because verse 33 says, and Yah went his way, as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place. Now the next chapter says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. So we know these two men are angels and one is Yah. The scripture starts out saying three men at first. So we know one of the men is Yah, and the other two men are angels. Okay? And so when you start to see these things, that's how we start to make a difference. Remember, we're talking about the angel of Yah. When you start to see Yah, there's a certain thing that takes place in the communication when it's talking about the angel of Yah. When he sent angels, we see that there is a distinction in how things are being done and carried out.
And that's what I was looking at earlier when you first were talking about it. When you see that, the angel will say, thus saith the Lord.
There you go.
Or they'll say, thus saith the Lord of hosts, or they'll say things like that. They won't necessarily speak in the first person.
Right. And so as you see it in verse 19 and verse 1, says, there came two angels of Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. That's custom there. And he said, behold now, my Lord. You see, he said Lord here, but when Abram bowed, he said Lord. So Abraham is bowing to Yah. Lot is bowing to these angels as a act of courtesy and humility and things like that. He said, turn in, I pray you, enter your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed them. Why? Because they're going to see for Yah what's going on. Okay? Now, I want to skip down because I want you to see this here. I want you to see this. Did you have anything else?
Yeah, I mean, even when you look at how these two men are talking, and you go to verse 13.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay.
Verse 13 says, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord.
They ain't saying before our faith.
Right. And the Lord has sent us to destroy. You see the difference? When you see Yah communicating, it is Him speaking. There are times He may speak in the third person, but you still know He's referring to Himself. He's referring to Himself when you look at these perspectives, at least at what we read at this point from the angel of the Lord. But when you look at these angels, they say we've been sent to do something. Okay? And Yah has sent us to destroy it. Verse 14 said, Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughter. So let you know he had more kids than just the two girls that fled with him. So he lost some of his daughters and his son-in-law in Sodom and Gomorrah. They didn't go. Which married his daughters and said, get you out of this place, or Yah will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. So they didn't go. He was good. Said, why? He didn't just have $2. There was only $2 living in his house. He had other daughters that had married men, and they wouldn't go. Okay. Now, as we see these things, I'm going to skip down and show you who actually carried out this here. 24. It says, then Yah rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire. So the angels were talking about destroying it, but they were speaking on behalf of Yah. And there were things that they did to those men. They caused them to be blind. They caused them to be blind. So that's the destruction that they were being used to do. But the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was by Yah Himself. Thus the fire and brimstone is rained from heaven. Okay? Yah rain upon Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from Yah out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the city, and that which grew up on the ground. Okay? And so we're seeing how Yah is moving and how these angels are moving. Did you have anything else in there?
29,
okay. Verse 29 said, it came to pass when Yah destroyed the cities of the plain, that Yah remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the city in the which Lot dwelt. So Yah is the source. Yet another one? Okay. And so we're seeing the difference here in how Yah is operating, and what we're going to do. We're going to stop right here, and we're going to pick up on Genesis 24 and 40 and continue on with the angel of Yah Exodus 3 and 2. I think is the one we started. Yeah, out of the bush. We'll start at Exodus 3 and 2 and continue on and look at the rest of these angels of Yah to come to the conclusion of what we're understanding, that the angel of Yah is just another name for Yah. Okay? We'll stop right there because of the time. All right? Okay, any questions or comments? Good? Okay, pray. Father Yah, we bless your name. We thank you for just your presence and your wisdom. And we believe without a doubt that you're getting us prepared to have encounters. You see that you have a people that that is positioned and hearts are in the position to have encounters with you as the Most High God. We look forward to these encounters, and we have high expectations in knowing that you will reveal yourself to us because you love us, and we're in the time frame where it's necessary. We glorify you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we pray. Amen.